Welcome back to the Oblivious Maximus podcast. Oh my god, guys, we're episode two. And Aaron, you're back.
I'm back.
Anyone listening to the audio version, I had to tell you it's Aaron, otherwise you think fucking Tom Waits had rocked into the studio. What's going on with your voice, mate?
I have attempted to sing in a band 3 days in a row for the first time in a long time. So apologies in advance for how this sounds. If you can see me, you can also see that I'm, you know, doing okay. But if you're listening to this in your car, I am Tom Waits.
You are Tom Waits. Before we go too much further, we got Otis and Pat here from AWOL. How you going, guys?
Going good. How are you guys?
Good, thanks.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
Pat has done it before.
Oh, true, I have.
We talked about Queens of the Stone Age.
We did.
Many moons ago.
We did. Sorry, I probably should be closer to the mic.
That's okay, mate.
Get yourself in.
He's not. He's used to being behind the kit, so he doesn't have one of these in front of him.
The mic's usually across the room, you know?
Yeah.
But Otis, first time.
Excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. I'm excited.
big fan, by the way.
You ever thought about getting on the mic behind the kit, like doing the headset thing?
Yeah, I should get one of those.
Yeah. I think Diploid, the drummer from Diploid's rocking the headset mic.
That's sick.
Colin uses one in God's
Name. I was going to say your homie Colin uses
it. Yeah.
Seen that.
The Britney mic.
Yeah. The Britney mic. Yeah.
The Britney mic.
I reckon you could have it just for the pit calls or like just yelling. Yeah, that might go good. That'll be a crowd favorite. New one.
I like really improvised a few pit calls at that show I played the other night.
You were there. Oh, yeah, it was great.
Like I don't do that in the slow death metal band usually, but I was like had enough pints that I was like I gotta rip some in here, and I know I definitely just said mosh real slow, and because I wasn't using the voice that has now fucked my throat, it was so much louder. Like because I was just like just from yelling to just like hey mosh real slow.
Your stage banter's unmatched.
Thank you.
So yeah. Funny, dude. Kills me every time.
I mean, I learnt from him, really.
So just talk shit.
Just talk shit. Yeah.
Get it going. Yeah.
Well, let's get into the reason why we're here to talk to you guys. I mean, you can go. You got the
you
laptop
guys,
up.
You got new album coming out. Tease a little song. How's it feel getting the song out there? What's the reaction been like so far?
Seems to be going good. Like it's good, you know, you spend all this time like writing something with your friends and you know, you gotta wait for certain things to be done, and it's just good to have it out and finally see, you know, get something from it of like your mates going, oh you're a sick one, man. Like yeah. Glad it's fun, you know.
That's the validation you need.
Yeah.
When did the process start on this one?
A bit ago. Like feel like we just we kind of recorded just before we went on tour with No Pressure. That was in pretty much a year ago, and so we've been sitting on it for a bit. But
and how was, like, I guess one of the things that we talked about before was, you know, a cool thing for you guys is this band is not that old in the grand scheme of things, but you know, like actually we talked about it in the podcast that we did the other day. Fuck, this voice is so bad.
It's awesome.
It sounds good.
It is
good.
Crazy.
Sounds
good.
I feel like it's like 3 a.m. I'm listening to late night radio.
Yeah. Legit,
so tell me about the writing process, boys.
Why did I do this?
No, you're chilling, man. Sounds good.
But we talked about the show at the Bendigo.
That was sick.
Which was sick as hell.
That we were super stoked on that.
Yeah.
Turnout.
We hadn't really played in a while, I think. It'd been a bit of, you know, we'd just sort of been waiting for everything to line up. And
August.
Yeah. And we were like, oh, we should probably put on a show and, like, you know, make something, you know, cool happen. And we got our friends from Brisbane to come down, Knuckle Dragger, and also Compound from Sydney, who's a new band, very sick. And so it was just a bit of fun just to
yeah.
And people came out. It's good.
Yeah. And I mean, what I was sort of getting to is that, like, you know, I don't like the meteoric rise term.
Yeah.
But like, it's been like, for a short time, it's popping pretty quick.
Yeah.
Like, the attention's been really cool, I think.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and like
working pretty hard at it. Like, you guys played a bunch of shows, like you said, the No Pressure shows, mm-hmm. and then like it seems like it's rolling pretty quick.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know, I just take it as we've just got very lucky. Mm. We have friends who are looking after us, and a lot of people invest a lot of time into us, so yeah, I mean, like, yeah, we work at it, but
we were going pretty hard, like, for a bit.
Definitely, like, until we, like, our focus went to the record, we were sort of going, like, pretty hard with it. But yeah, I think, like, it's just sort of a stroke of good luck, I guess. And like, if you've been playing in bands for a minute, which we all sort of have, and been involved in the scene, you just have kind of friends just willing to put you on. And I think that that's sort of the fortunate part of it, is that we have people already ready to be like, oh, whatever you're doing, I will listen to it and I'll put you on a show. And you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other thing too is, like, there's obviously been a real post-COVID, like, a switch has been flicked that I hadn't noticed for like years before that.
Big time.
Yeah,
it was really strange. Like, I think during COVID, like, I think a lot of, like, we were playing in some other bands, and obviously nothing could happen during COVID. Like, Broken released like one song for a comp through like Last Ride, and so that was like our little project during lockdown. But at the same time, like, and we had sort of just taken a step back and being like, oh, like, we can't do shit. Like, let's just fucking wait, or whatever. Like, oh, like, we can't be fucked, whatever.
Mm.
But Speed were doing their thing and, like, really going hard. And it was a bit like, oh, what? Like, these guys, like, we're in a fucking pandemic. Like, you know, like, how do you have the energy? Like, and it, coming back from that, it's like, fuck, they really have sort of created this thing from, like, the lowest times of, like, whatever, you know, like.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I think those guys obviously were, like, super productive throughout that. I could not have been, like, less productive musically.
Tell me about it.
Like, just Xbox all day. Like, just, me and Akira.
You guys ever tried the drug weed? I really did a lot of research.
It cures it, actually. So I hear.
Yeah. It's the same for me. It's like killed so much like momentum and creativity and shit. Because it's like part of you going like, oh, I've got so much time, I can do everything. And you sit down and be like, where the fucking riff's at? Like, you just don't know. Like, it's like, what? I can't, like, because I'm not living a normal life, so I'm not really inspired by anything. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it only really
sometimes
comes from
having,
like,
the busy lifestyle. It's like you really take advantage of the time that you do have. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, during that, all I did was this podcast.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, I worked, but I worked a way less than I normally would.
Yeah.
Comparatively to, you know, going places. So, like, my three things were, I did the podcast, I drank so much beer.
Oh, really? You drink a lot of beer.
Weird. and then there was that period where the football was on every day.
Yeah.
Except one day, because they condensed it. And I was like, well, I'll just do the podcast on the day that the footy's not on.
Yeah.
And then I'll just watch football every day. But then when the football season ended, it was like,
my life's ended.
What do I have to, you know, what am I meant to do?
Now I've just got beer in this fucking podcast.
Well, it was weird because, like, I feel like there was different phases of the pandemic, you know? Mm. And like, at the start, everyone was like, fuck everything, like, can't be bothered. And then as things were, because, like, we kind of started while we were still getting locked, you know, like, we kept going in, and we were meant to play our first show, and it got cancelled because of, you know, of a snap lockdown or something. So, like, you know, it was kind of, some of it was productive, I guess.
So to that then, how did you start it? During that period?
Well, like, Mike and Schultz and, like, started it, I guess. Like, they were kind of like, they wanted to do, like, a heavy hardcore band that wasn't, like, super generic, like, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't want, they just wanted it to be, like, you know, just a bit more like, yeah, whatever. And
more substance.
Just a bit more like, you know, focused on, you know, have it still fast and heavy at the same time.
Yeah.
But so they were just sort of chipping away at doing, like, you know, working on that. And then originally I was just recording it.
Mm.
And when in recording it, I ended up joining because they didn't have someone playing guitar. But like I was sort of helping at the end of it, of just sort of putting it together. And yeah. Like they were pre-pouring everything at my house, and I would be like, ah, oh, maybe that bit's we don't need that bit there, but like, you know what it, but like, yeah, not a lot.
Yeah.
And then yeah, and then we just sort of went from there. But
yeah,
that's pretty much it.
Because like, I mean, I definitely like we were just saying, I definitely spent like a number of times I sat down with a guitar and I was like, today's the day.
Yeah.
And then it was just bullshit. Nothing. Like, yeah. Just absolute trash.
The worst riffs you've ever written.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was like, and that, because the thing now is a lot of people think I did the Aglo stuff during lockdown, but I did not. Like, I did that well after I could see people again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess like the having the push to do it. I mean, I suppose if you, it was in those breaks where you were able to start seeing people and do things. What was the show that got cancelled? What was the first show meant to be?
It was meant to be like Iron Mind.
Speed. Well, it was meant to be Speed, and then they couldn't play because then it got shifted.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So it was meant to be Iron Mind, Speed, and
can't remember who else was meant to be on it.
The Chain were on it, but I think. No, sorry. No, the chain ones took over from the Speed, so.
Yeah.
The gang called Speed.
Yeah.
It ended up being like, it ended up sort of splitting to two shows, because then our first show was still with Speed.
Mm. Yeah, right.
They did their own show because then they couldn't make the date later in the year work, and then Iron Mind played later in the year, and we played that.
Oh,
and that
yeah,
was like
yeah.
our, I don't know, fourth show or something, which the Chain were on and whatever. So.
What's funny about that is that like, at that time, like this is, I guess this is a Speed podcast now, but at that time, like,
that's all we talk about it.
When it first got announced, it was like Iron Mind, Speed, and like whatever, like AWOL, like first show or whatever. And then from the show not happening, like being cancelled, to when it was happening again, they got even bigger. And we're in America and now we're the biggest band in the world. So it was kind of like, they were like, oh, we can't actually play the show anymore because we're out hanging with Travis Barker or something. Like,
we can't play this piss out.
Fucking Iron Mind. Like, we'll maybe do it like, soon.
What, are we going to headline above Iron Mind? Shout out to Speed. What's up?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for making us. Yeah.
Thanks for being our literal dads.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's been cool. It's like you guys have been getting the Drain show we went to. You guys didn't play, but you got a big shout out from Drain on stage. I don't know if you knew that, but that was cool to hear. Like, you know,
I think it's the same thing, man. Like, we just like being involved in it and whatever. Like, you make friends with this person, make friends with that person, and so it's like people who like, I don't know, like I guess investing in us as people, I suppose, maybe more than the band. I think the song's good, but like also it's just fortunate that we've got friends like looking after us. It's helped it move along.
I think it just kind of works like that a little bit as well. Like,
it's just how shit works.
Like, you know, you got to like put an effort. It's more than just like playing. Like, you can just play and it's fun or whatever. But like, you know, I'm sure like when you guys were first doing bands, you kind of have to like make that connection and be like, I can go to that city now. And like, some people just think like, it's just going to work. We're just going to be arsey. Like, you kind of have
people like are in bands and they're like, we're not getting anywhere. It's like, well, you don't go to shows or anything either.
That's literally
it's like you don't support the scene. Yeah. And
that's like, I mean, maybe you could speak to this on like a comedy level maybe, but like the bands who seem to do the best and like within hardcore, it's like, who's the most present in the scene? Who's going to shows? Who's like, when the bigger bands go to that area, who's the people moshing?
Yeah.
Who are the people up the front? Yeah. They're typically the bands that do well. It's
What's your mosh count, bro? Like, our mosh count in Sydney is.
I mean, I think that like there's certain. I mean, I would say like the thing that's like noticed that I've noticed throughout this whole time that I've been doing this sort of stuff is that like just being present and participating in whatever, and that participating definitely does not mean like putting out content or playing supporting, or it's just being yeah. there and being like lovely also helps. So yeah. like yeah. I mean, and that's always been my thing, is like just be nice. Like if you're the nicest person, then probably something good will happen.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, just be nice to everyone and like, you know, good things will come your way. Like yeah. it's, you know, a lot of things kind of work like that. Like
I also think it's like really not even that. It's like even simpler than that. It's just like, do you like the music? Go to a show.
Yeah.
It's like it's
yeah.
like it's so fucking simple. It's like comedy, you know? Mm. Do you like going to live comedy? Go see a show. It's like, and yeah. if you're in the room, if you're a part of the thing, maybe you'll do something cool one day and then people will fuck with it. And it's like, it doesn't even have to be that like that technical. It's just like, do you like going to music and just go to it?
It's like, well, it's like, I think that, you know, it's intimidating going to shows for the first time sometimes, but people yeah. see you around and then, yeah. you know, you're part of it. It doesn't take very much, I think, for
yeah.
younger you'll, kids to get into it, that kind of thing.
You'll be surprised how like much just like talking to a random person can like change the dynamic yeah. of everything, absolutely. You know, like some, and it comes easier to some people, mm. but like, you know, I think most people are down at a, you know, hardcore are down to just like have fun and like have a chat with anyone. And you just kind of have to like, someone has to be the first person to like take that step and be like, hey mate, that's a nice shirt. Like, yeah. Yeah, like that song or
the nod, always, the nod is important.
Yeah. 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 Hey bro, stop. Like, but yeah, anyway.
It, I feel like the other thing too that I'm now learning as I'm getting older is that there is like a, I think there is a distinct thing that older people go through where they decide like, I'm not talking anymore, like I'm gonna stand up the back or something.
Oh, for sure.
Mm. But then those people unfortunately inevitably end up fading away to nothingness yeah. because they aren't actively putting involving themselves.
I was gonna say that's me now, and I'm fucking 26 or whatever. Like I'm like, you know, I've been, yeah, I'm just like, oh, fuck, man, these kids are going, they're going quite hard in the pit. Like, I'm good.
You play one show with speed and then you're too cool.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I'm still in the pit. I just, it just needs the right moment, you know? Like, when you were doing those pit calls the other day, I was like, oh, I could take out this metal guy right now. Yeah. But that'll ruin the show.
But I would safely say there was a couple of people there who were ready to pit.
Mm.
There was a lot of people there who were not.
So. Yeah, yeah. Also, read the room sometimes. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah,
I should have read the room.
Nah, bro, it was awesome.
Instructing was awesome. Like that.
Also, you'd be hard-pressed to do a spin kick in that room. It's quite yeah. small.
It was tiny.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Did you guys ever get amongst the pit?
Yes.
Yes.
How did you go? What was the move?
You're on a Mind Snare shirt, aren't you?
I am on a Mind Snare shirt, which I bought and then lost somewhere between the Bendigo and the Tote. when I was really giving it a nudge back in the day.
Giving it a nudge. What a way to say that.
But yeah, I am on
you're
a shirt.
On the shirt, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I've tried to find that shirt. I think it's one of Nicole Goodwin's picks. Mm. Like, you know, awesome pick, obviously. Yeah, and there's definitely, Callum found, there was a Mind Snare house show that was in someone's backyard in the middle of fucking Altona or something.
Yeah.
With me wearing a break-even hat and a flat brim cap.
Iconic.
Yeah, long shorts. Short shorts hadn't come in yet.
will we put it up here or?
Yeah.
Have you guys got that technology?
It
right?
Bring it up.
Yeah, bring it up. It's here. And Aaron, you're moshing?
Yes, not for a long time. I definitely, because I came into it through being a metal guy. So like when I was playing in the first hardcore bands I was in, I was still famously had long hair. Playing
crazy to think about now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did as well at one point.
Yeah. R.I.P. no, but I, you know, was playing melodic hardcore with two kick drums and long hair, just the classic setup. Slowburn, the band I was in at the time, we opened for Agnostic Front.
Oh, awesome.
And I definitely pitted with long hair. Awesome. I think I was wearing a Black Label Society shirt. So, awesome. Real loser area.
Dude, that's awesome, though. That's when awesome. I see someone, like, giving it a crack in the pit that's not, like...
Yeah.
Like, you know, that maybe they're not super from the... They're not totally a part of the scene, but, like, you know, they're there.
Getting involved.
I love it. I'm like, fuck, man, like, this is awesome. Like, I don't know how he knows to move like that, but, like...
I just
picked it up quick.
I can only imagine my like pit swag was so grubby.
We'll be in there, like, brother, don't worry about that.
Dude, kids these days, like, there's so much footage of moshing. Like, you know how to mosh in. So I remember being like, how do they do that, man? Like, what? How do they know to do that?
I'm so glad.
Like, the one leg, like, goes back.
Yeah.
I'm so glad no one had phones that could film when I was trying to do that.
Bro.
Tell me about it, dude. Tell me
about it. Yeah, no, I definitely... I mean, I just bring that one up because it was funny, because I definitely had long hair. But there is a photo of me somewhere with me hanging my ponytail over Vinny Stigma's head and him using it as like a fringe.
At that show?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Awesome. And we'll put it up there. Yeah. Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's legendary.
That's awesome.
It was sick.
That's a great story.
It was a fun show. I mean... And still, in hindsight, like, why the fuck was our melodic argo band agnostic front? But anyway.
And yeah, how did you get into that situation of, he probably said, hey, kid, get your fucking...
I need that kid who was doing the weirdest mosh moves ever. I got to touch his hair.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, one of the things that we talked about, getting you guys to think about pre-coming... was some influences that you took into making this new record. Stop talking about me moshing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your record.
My influences were Aaron moshing.
Yeah. With a ponytail.
And giving and putting his Agfunk hair
and
over
melodic hardcore. That's the two that go together.
That's my two influences.
So, yeah, I suggested maybe like a top five things that you took into this. What were those things? Like, what? I mean, you can do it together. You can go each of you, however you want to talk about it.
That's the best. Like, I guess a lot of it is like influenced by like 90s sort of East Coast hardcore. Mm-hmm. Like, just trying to expand on what we kind of had already been doing, and but like sort of just organize it in a different way of like, you know, referencing some other things on just the vibe or the song structure of something like that. Like, big one for like just the sound of the thing would be like Cold as Life, like Born to Land Hard. Sick. Like that sort of, you know,
that's like a vibe one for me.
Yeah, but like
just the overall vibe of
the energy of that. But like, I think we weren't necessarily trying to take, because like a lot of people would say they're like the hardest band ever, and like they are, but like they also have the faster sort of bits and like choruses of, you know, some of their older stuff that also is on the LP, but a lot of that was sort of an inspiration for that. Like,
I mean, a thing that I noticed when listening to it is that, like, I don't think I've heard a hardcore band that sounds like you guys sound in a long time that uses double kicks that aren't just like, brr, brr, like using like driving double kick.
I wish I could say it was my own idea. But didn't write any of it.
Yeah. But it's sick though. Like, it's cool having that in there, because again, that's like a differentiator.
You know? Like, I think that kind of goes back to like the thing with trying to like, whenever trying to be obvious, like this is a breakdown, the heaviest breakdown. It's always like, we want some class to it a little bit, you know, like. Lack of a bit of, you know, term.
Even like parts that like, it's funny, so like when we've been playing one of the songs off the record for like since like our third show for like a long time, like long before we recorded it. And when I remember when we first played that, before, like obviously before anyone knew it, that like it got to parts in it that's like it's kind of more groovy, but it is a part you can mosh to. And you can almost like see people in the crowd kind of like,
yeah, what is this?
Like, like they're like, I think I can mosh to this, but I don't know. And then now you see like since we've been playing it for everyone, and people know the song purely by like just watching live clips or going to enough shows, you see like people moshing at that part. It's like perfect.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't have to be obvious to you. Like, it doesn't have to be the classic, you know, like standard thing that like, this is a mosh part. It's like, kind of teaching people, I mean, and there's no part of it where like, oh, we're educating people. I'm just saying, like, it's like, oh, there's other ways to do it. You don't have to be like so like by the book with everything. Like, you can mosh to any part of a song. It's just like, it's gotta be done with taste, you know.
It's funny because like when it first like we dropped the first thing, or even we're playing a little bit, like a lot of people would be like, what are you trying to sound like? What is this? Like, it sounds sick, but like, what are you trying to sound like? And we would sort of say things and they'll be like, is that it? Like, really? Yeah. Like, I'm like, yeah. And I think now it's sort of becoming more clear, but I think having like, so like Mike and Schultz are both from Florida. Like, mm-hmm. so they've moved here, you know, for reasons, yeah. but, and, you know, love. Yeah. No, yeah. And so we kind of, you know, they bring a good insight to it because it's, they kind of, you know, maybe sort of clued on to like they have take a lot of influence from sort of like some older, like Miami bands and mm-hmm. stuff like that, that like not a single person in Australia has ever heard. And we yeah, hadn't yeah. even really heard it, but like, if you knew it, you would maybe be like, oh yeah, that's that.
Well, yeah. But I would say that's something that I, you know, I know that those guys are from there mm-hmm. and, you know, knowing and having played in bands for a long time, like you can always tell when someone has a different like lens
yeah.
and what my assumption is it would come from something like that. Like,
yeah.
and I think that, you know, I've always played in bands that have been, I would say for lack of a better word, like have been kind of weirder than the other thing that is happening at the time. Even if I am like, for example, playing in a melodic hardcore band when melodic hardcore is like the biggest thing going, we were definitely not the popular version of that because we would also put like stoner riffs in the yeah. songs, and just because we liked them, some people caught on to it, some people didn't. But what I'm trying to say is that like for what you guys are doing now, it does sound distinctly different because I think of there's a, you know, a shared pool of
yeah,
you know, interests and influences, but because they're distinctly different, it then the output comes out differently, you know?
Yeah, it's funny because we've also sort of like met in the middle, because like especially with all the new stuff where it's kind of like everyone's more sort of involved with it or whatever, whereas the 7-inch was more
just
they had kind of already like, you know, came up with the presented a sound and like this is kind of what we're doing. So it's funny that like I don't know, everything sort of like works a bit better now because I feel like we're meeting in the middle with everything of being like, oh, like that is maybe too much, like we need to kind of maybe dial it back and like make it a bit more like,
well, that's like a unique thing to have like a band with two very yeah like Aaron said different lenses, and being able to blend that together means you can do something a bit different. You're not just like the same influences kind of just lead to the same thing. So that's sick. Yeah. Being able to try to blend that together.
Yeah. It's been, yeah, it works well.
I think it's just like the mix of all of us as a, you know, five dudes with different sort of stories or journeys to that point. And like how we can kind of refine it further and further. Cause like I didn't drum on the demo, but then like I drummed on this and like, I feel like even just a drumming wise, like there's certain parts of it that, little tiny parts of it that I've like refined just because it's like my taste, because I just want to play it the way I want to play it, or I like, oh, that's too technical, I just want to dumb it down and make it simple or make this bit more interesting. And it's the same with like Otis comes in with other parts to like just make it, and it just refines the part of it. It's like,
yeah,
I think it's just a fortunate thing. We've just sort of got different tastes all sort of like working together that kind of make it sort of something that seems a bit different.
Yeah, another reference that we probably would take from is like a band like Biohazard with more like a bouncy sort of thing, but even just sort of how they like, you know, structure things and like and then like even more recent sort of influences of like more recent sort of bands bands like maybe like a Bitter End and TUI that kind of like their albums were very sort of like, or like the later like the like Big Kiss Goodnight and then a lot of the Bitter End albums, they sort of like follow that sort of like structure in a way or like but I feel like that's like a big influence with what that I take from anyway of just sort of like, you know, sort of pop, like just making things a bit more catchy and like, but still like not like watered, like,
you know. Well, I think a thing that I think is very positive for hardcore broadly that came out of bands like that too is starting to really get hammered in that like, oh, you can have a chorus. Like it doesn't need to be singing, but you can write hooks into this music. And if you write hooks into this music, people will fucking love it. Like, regardless of whether they like your band or not, they'll probably like the songs. You know?
Like, it's almost like they've taken this, like, incredibly hard, like, almost a little bit, some, you know, almost a little bit, like, dumb, but they've made it, like, full, like, I don't know, like, structured in a way that you're like, man, like, that's good. Like, they're good musicians.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that shows with a lot of, you know, a lot of that stuff, too. That's why it lasts. That's why people keep coming back to it. That's why it continues to influence people, because, you know, when the hook is there, it's there. And, you know, it'll keep getting plays and people will keep recognizing it for what it is. What, you know, you mentioned before, obviously, recording the pre-production stuff. You've sort of taken the reins with doing a lot of the production side of it too. What was, like, an influence on that side of things? Like, putting the music aside, what about the recording of it?
I'm not too sure. Like, I guess with all that sort of stuff, I think it is more just like, I kind of know how to do it. And like, I sort of have like a particular way of like how I want to do things. And like, it sort of just is just, I'm not too sure. Like, I guess the sound of things is like,
I mean, not particularly like a record or something like that. More like, what did you want to get out of it when you were putting the record together?
As in from the sound? Pretty much, I don't know, like, from pre-proing the songs, there was already, I felt like there was always a sort of sound there. And like, to be fair, like, the style of music we're playing and even just how it, like, the chords, you know, it's the same pretty much chord the whole way through, the big chord. It kind of just creates this sound that, like, on its own a little bit. Like, I feel like you could play through, like, I feel like a lot of, like, high gain amps, you could sort of play through them, and I feel like it would maybe work out. It's more just, like, the style of the songs, but, like,
I feel like you...
It's a hard question.
It's a hard question, but I feel like, we more particularly Otis had a pretty on a micro level understanding of how we sound as a band, and how to lean into parts of like just parts of that sound to like emphasize certain things and cut away the things that aren't really necessary within that sound, sort of, if that kind of makes sense. I know that makes it sound really broad, but like we practiced a lot.
I think what I noticed, like, you know, I am dumb when it comes to sound. Like, that sounds sick.
That's right. You listen to music though, so it's a valid, got a valid opinion.
I just noticed that, like, listening to the tracks, it's like super crisp. Like, it was, and it really replicated your live feel as well.
Good. That's
I think that's a big thing of like trying to replicate. I think it's going back to what I was saying.
No.
Trying to replicate like how the songs are played. Like, it sounds dumb, but like, just playing the songs had this vibe, and I was like, okay, so like, but like with production sort of stuff, like, and with the references of like the influences and stuff like that, a lot of these sort of like, you know, Biohazard or even like Madball, like there's a very sort of live sound, like a, you know, big sort of drums that like sound like you know, instruments like that. Definitely like in like the that's sort of like a big thing that we try and do.
I think like, and you kind of nailed it in the sense that like, and what I was getting at before is that like we jammed a lot, like even like when I sort of come in and started drumming and we were getting our sound together and starting to work out how to play together, we were playing a lot together, and that, like, I guess we're all just picking apart, particularly he and I, like picking apart like how it sounds and getting a guitar tone right, and like just the way I play drums, like how that translates when it's, you know, mixed and whatever, and like trying to make sure that like what he's getting at is that the vibe is there, and like you're saying, like, that's our live sound. Like, we, I was talking to a friend the other day who was at a show, and he was like, oh, I remember when I'd seen you guys for the first, he's from Adelaide, he's like, I remember when I saw you guys for the first time, you were that when you guys played, it was like a big step up in like the sound, and like it was just so much louder and like more intense than everyone else. I was like, perfect.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, like, yeah. We're consciously thinking of that stuff, trying to like it just play harder and more aggressively than anyone else. Like it's partly the sound that we're playing anyway, but like even when I play the drums, I'm trying to go like 110%, hitting them correctly, whatever, to that all those little 1%ers make the sound, and then it's just trying to get that across in a recording. Well, I think, guess, you know,
like hardcore more than any other type of music is so dependent on energy.
Yeah, and it's 100% energy.
100%.
Like, and if you
feeling that show that you guys played that the other week, it was like, yeah, you could feel that on stage just coming out. It was sick. Awesome.
And like, you know, like if you guys go to a show, like you'll see 5-band bill. Maybe first band's first show, second band maybe played a couple of shows, third band's maybe like, you know, that's when you start getting up to bands who've maybe done a little bit of touring, maybe they've played local a lot, I don't know, and then you're going up into the last two bands and they've toured a lot, they might be an international, whatever. There's always like a jump within those bands. You can always hear like, oh, that band's like, even if you can't really articulate it, you're going like, fuck, that band was really good, or fuck, they sounded really good, right? But you don't know what it is, and it's probably just that they've spent a lot of time sitting around in a jam room playing.
Well, that classic, like, just got back from Europe.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
You're like big fan, you know. You've just been playing a lot, and like,
I think they're just crazy in their head, putting too much time into fucking.
Yeah, exactly. But that affects people, you know, and that's really what we're trying to do. You're just trying to affect people. Like, you want people to respond to the music that you're doing. You want them to sing along, or you want them to mosh. It's like,
I've got like a test. Like, if your feet start hurting halfway through a band's playing, it's like, oh no. Like, I'm focusing too much on my feet and not the energy of like, you know, like you want to be like, whoa, what the fuck is going on?
If I want to look at my phone, you know?
Nah, why am I thinking about my feet so much?
Yeah.
The fuck?
This shouldn't hurt this much.
And realistically, like, you know, you want to be captivated by a band. You want to see a band play live and be like, fuck, you know, like you just want it to take you in for that, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour or whatever. And that's the best thing about hardcore, is it's just that's a sort of pure concentration of that energy. So it's like just constantly trying to work out the, like, at least I am always kind of trying to work out like, what's the extra little like thing that I can do to like refine that a bit further and like draw more people in, you know?
It's the same with like guitar, like watching a guitar player. Like, you know, if you're obsessed with like how a guitar sounds or something like that, and you watch, you know, like I message you like, using this pedal, man, like blah, blah, blah. And you're like, nah. But like, I don't know. I think if you like, you know, if you care about something, it's going to kind of show in some way.
Yeah.
In some way. Like,
yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, the other thing, you know, note in my head from the record is like how good the guitar sounds on it, which is, that is all I really care about in the grand scheme of music. But like, I mean, I think for me, like when I play shows, that's what I'm trying to do. It's just every show, the guitar has got to sound better than the last show. And I'm just forever, you know, searching that.
Some people don't have that though, and like and I totally get it, because it is kind of an insane like it's a bit like, oh, okay, like, yeah, cool, because like no one's gonna understand what you know you're on about, like something, you know, my guitar was a little bit like blah blah, and like, oh no, you just sounded good, man, who get, like, you know,
whatever.
And you're kind of like, fucking, like, no, you should.
I mean, one thing I know for sure is that I definitely couldn't hear myself singing, because my voice would not sound like this.
It sounded lovely out the front, I'll say that.
Time for the Aglo in ears.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Next level. Yeah.
Get me up there. I need some pro shit. Yeah. I mean, a couple of the other things that, you know, we were sort of thinking about to talk about with you guys. One of the main things, I suppose, is like the way this one's being released. So it's getting released overseas, which is pretty exciting. It's cool when an opportunity like that comes up. I mean, obviously, it's getting released here too, but
yeah, of course. Shout out Meadow.
Yeah,
shout out
no shade. Right.
To what up, Meadow?
Yeah.
Also, our previous guest on this podcast. Quick plug for myself, Meadow.
Oh, fuck yeah!
Had done this. But yeah. So, tell us about, you know, the Flat Spot stuff. How did that come about?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna talk about them again, but obviously, like Speed. And before that, like Iron Mind had been, you know, worked with Flat Spot, and I guess maybe I'm not too sure. I think I remember just hearing one day Ricky saying, to like asking them, yeah, what's up? What's this AWOL band like? What do you reckon? And then of course they're going to be like, yeah, they're fucking sick. but he was here for like it was Speed, Scowl, and Tsunami were touring, and obviously Scowl and Speed are on Flat Spot, and he just watched us play, and I guess he was just like, oh, do you want, you know, what are you doing? We have an LP, you know, we have an LP, and he's like, yeah, we'd be down, and we're like, I don't know. I guess Pat hung out with him a fair bit on the tour, so that contributed to it.
Yeah, I spent like that whole time because I drive bands when they come over. Yeah, and we spent like a fair bit of time, even like in rooms and shit together, hanging out and I guess getting to know each other. He didn't really bring it up with me, like until sort of the end of the tour. But it was like sort of a funny.
We were hearing of it.
We were like hearing of it, and I was like, "Well, I'm not gonna bring it up, and like we're just gonna kind of do this weird like,
thing to bring up." Like, so
yeah,
like, heard you want to fucking put the LP out.
It was like dating or something, you know? It's just like it was like kind of funny, and then but there was all this. There was just, I guess, a mutual understanding that like we, I suppose that like he'd shown an interest in us and whatever. So yeah, and then I guess at the end of that tour, we sort of actually like talked more seriously about it, and
it's all been pretty chill. Like,
yeah, so that's chill. Awesome. It's like, and that's how most of this stuff.
But to be honest, like I've found, you know, in the experience that I've had, when things are really easy,
yeah,
it generally means that it's gonna go well. Yeah. Whereas like the times where I've had to like grind my fucking, you know, ass off to make something work, kind of falls on its ass.
Yeah, for sure. And that has to be like a mutual want, you know, on both sides, and like it has to be like kind of foundational to all that is like, do I like this person? Are their ethics aligned with mine? Like, could I fucking sit in a room and talk to them?
For sure.
Do you know, like that kind of is paramount to anything else. And that I felt like was easy on that tour. We got along like totally fine. And that's kind of, that kind of set the tone for being like, okay, cool. Like this is something we can pursue. And then, yeah, it was just, it's so easy. It's like not even a thing really. We just started talking more, and then here we are, I guess.
Cool for you guys as a band, because I guess you obviously had that, but then you look at Flat Spot and they got some of the best hardcore bands going at the moment. That's like, they wouldn't put you guys on if you didn't fit that
as
well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we were a little bit like, what? We're super like, you know, we love what we've writing and stuff like that, and really enjoy doing it all, but we're kind of like, what's the deal? Like,
that's good.
He was just like, oh, I want to do it. I'm like, sick. Yeah,
I mean, it's good to go to it with that as well, and also not going into it like, yeah, this record fucking rocks, dude.
Yeah.
Put it out.
Yeah.
It's a healthy mix of both.
Hey brother, here's our email.
Like, duh, we fucking know it rocks, brother. But that's the thing. It's all just like, it's all just being super easy. That's the same with our relationship with Matto. It's exactly the same. Yeah. Like, just they're just our friends. They're people like we could hang out with, and that's like that's the way it should be. Like,
absolutely,
it shouldn't. That's why this genre is perfect, because it's like, it should just be all like, I like this person and they're my friend, and let's work together. Let's do some cool shit together. It doesn't have to be anything more than that, because then that's when it gets in a bit, I don't know, businessy sort of like.
Yeah, and I mean, I've had like some opportunities that were like on paper sounded fucking mad, but then in reality were like kind of whatever. Like, I've got funny stories from them, but other than that,
do tell.
Other than that, I don't really have that much. Is just like, you know, putting it out with my mates or myself or whoever has yielded as the same result as doing something that sounds crazy, you know. And I think that's a thing that is inevitably always going to come back around, particularly in hardcore, is that like at the end of the day, like the scene is what is going to support it. Like, so even if it is, you know, really DIY or really supported, you know, financially or otherwise, at the end of the day, if you're contributing and you're going, you're participating, you're doing all that stuff that we were talking about earlier, it's probably going to pop anyway, just because of all that.
And like, even like, to simplify it even further, like, isn't just doing shit with your friends fun? Like, doesn't it, it's like that's,
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, sometimes.
I mean, what's sorry. It like to have friends? It sounds like when you do shit with your friends, it must be fun. I wouldn't know. But no, like, not, you know, like, isn't anything fun when you do shit with your friends?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, like, that should be kind of the only purpose, really. It's like, well, I like this thing and you like this thing. Let's do something fun together.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the other thing, too, is like, I mean, everyone has this in their, you know, approaches in their own way, but for me it's just I've had this realization in the last couple of years that like I'm only going to do the stuff that is fun, and if it's not fun, there has to be a reason why I've like decided to take that hit. Oh yeah. As you can see,
like, yeah, fucking look at this setup, man. It's crazy. You guys are fucking doing so good.
Thank you, Ben, who is paying for this. No, but, you know, like, I think, yeah, like, the why start a band that is just me playing stuff about Star Trek other than do just fun. Have fun? Yeah. You know? So what like, what's next? What's the future looking like beyond the record?
When's it come out? Like, any shows planned to release it?
It's the release date for the whole thing is the 26th of April. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll probably do a tour for that. We got a couple shows. We're going to New South Wales in 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
For Downsides record release, and then we're doing our own show in Newcastle that the homies over there set up.
Sick.
Yeah, it's a cool scene going on over there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. We're just waiting to see how what people think of it, I guess. I think, you
like,
know,
yeah, and that's it's all just dependent on whether people give a fuck. like I mean, if people want to see us, like, we'll play, and that's where we're constantly talking to people to you know, play shows potentially interstate, internationally, whatever. The interest is there, but it's like it's just nodding those offers out and, like, you know, working out whether they work and whether we can do them and whatever. And yeah, like, again, it's a bit hard until the record comes out. Like, we've put one song out and people fuck with it, but, like, who knows? Like, realistically,
the rest of it might be terrible.
We put the best song out on the record and the rest of it is you'll fall asleep.
Nah, it's good.
Yeah, you'll have sore feet by track two.
Yeah, sitting down on your couch at home, you'll have sore feet.
All my ears hurt.
Well, I guess just to like kind of wrap up, what have you guys been enjoying lately, music-wise? Like, not connected to the album, what have you been listening to that you've been really fucking with?
You go first. You feel like you listen to music?
Yeah, he doesn't.
No,
too busy recording it. You can't be listening to it.
Well, honestly, that's the first thing that went to my head. I'm like, I've been doing a fair bit of mixing, you know, and like I'm still learning, so it takes me a little bit longer. And like, you know, I'm a bit of a I'll sit there for fucking ages, just like, and I've gone nowhere, you know, but I feel like I am, you know. It's like getting that magical guitar tone, you're like, anyway. But because I've been doing a lot of that, I don't really have a solid answer for it, so Pat might have to go first and I'll
sheesh. I actually do listen to quite a lot of hardcore. I feel like, yeah, I mean, I go back more. I listen to like older stuff. I'm trying to like just dig and find like old shit that I haven't heard before.
What's been a recent discovery?
Recent discovery? I mean, there's bands that like I've known about that have like, I, you know, stuff that I've like heard about for years and just was busy listening to like this current thing or whatever. Yeah. What can I say? Small shit. Like, when, and the other thing is like going on tour with bands and stuff, they'll like
give you good recommendations.
Yeah, like they'll, because it's like their area. Like, it's not a name drop at all. But when it went on a tour with a band from like the Baltimore, like DC sort of area, and another dude was from Ohio, so we were just having conversations in the band where they were like, oh, have you listened to this band or this like old Clevo band that I'd never heard of? And like, it's like, fuck, I've never even heard of this, like some random band from the 90s and shit that like is perfect that I've just never found before, that, you know. So there's just, yeah, it's tons of that kind of stuff that like that I've been digging up. And like you know, I might know about five bands from that scene, but then there's like another one that used to always play with those bands. Yeah. And I'm like, oh man, I've heard of them, but I've just never like, there's just so many bands out there that, you know.
I've got a band for everyone that you should check out from your area, Canberra. Okay. There's a young band. Their name is Thantu.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They're fucking sick.
Yeah.
I've listened to it a little bit, but our good friend Jordan, I think
shout out Leagues,
maybe taught them or something, and because he's a teacher, so maybe there were students at the school he went to or whatever, but we're playing with them in Newcastle actually. But
oh yeah, cool.
They're fucking good. They're like they must be 18 or something like that. Yeah.
See, when we talked the other week about there being a Canberra, thriving Canberra hardcore scene.
This is it.
Dude, they're so sick. Like, if I was that good at their age, like, it's crazy how they just even know to do what they're doing. You know what I mean? I'm like, fuck.
Something in the water up there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Shout out Vera.
Oh.
Yeah.
My other homies.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, like, that stuff is like, again, I was in Canberra yesterday losing my voice. But even talking to people yesterday there, like, it is definitely popping.
For sure.
And so draw attention to that, not via me.
Canberra and Newcastle are both like, maybe they probably have like seems like they have the youngest active scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like,
yeah, Newcastle definitely, I would say.
Here, like, there's stuff happening, but young people, I feel like new faces, people doing stuff is like not as much as over there, but like,
yeah,
maybe seems that way.
But. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I see it when I go on tour a bit. There's some places have it more than others. It just like comes back to the same common trope of it's just like about the community and how strong it is. Like, you know, how are those kids going, like, bringing another kid who's sort of on the outside, maybe he's like a kid in a fucking Black Label Society shirt with long hair. Are they going to their mate and going, hey,
that kid,
come see this band? Yeah.
That's what absolutely. I see with that Fantu band. It's like, they're like not really necessarily playing like super hardcore music, but the music they're playing is so sick and like unique sort of sounding. I feel like it's like.
I played this show with Phantoms in Adelaide a month ago. And I hadn't played a show in Adelaide in, I think, like 8 years or something was what I realized when I was there. Like, it had been forever since I'd been there. And I used to go there quite a lot. And I used to play in a band from Adelaide and stuff. So I was like, when I went there, I was kind of expecting that it would be the same or like it would
terrible.
Be well
I mean, I got a couple of stories about that I'll fucking tell you one or two of them.
I was expecting the Enigma Bar Predator to come and get me.
R.I.P.
But then I go there and played the show and it was fucking crazy.
Yeah,
and like there was like, I think there was like over 200 people there. I did not recognize any of them. And I was like,
so sick.
That, and someone was like, oh, isn't that a bummer? And I was like, well, not really, because the people I'm friends with are like 40. Yeah. So I don't really care that they're not here.
You shouldn't be knowing anyone at the show. Like, there should be new people doing it. Like, when I played there, like just before lockdown, it was probably the last tour before lockdown. It was with Crust and Regulate. And there was probably like 10 people there. Like, Crust from Jersey Shore, they like lost odds on, you know, you play games on tour, they lost odds and they're playing in they played in their undies. That was what they had to do. And like, I just remember like one, there was like four people in the room and that's like half the tour or whatever of people on tour. And then like one dude walking and going, what the hell? And then like I went back with Speed and it was like, fuck, this is crazy. And I couldn't help myself. I was like, yo, I played here a couple years ago before, you know, the pandemic, like with a band called Broken. Like, who was there? And everyone was like, yeah. I was like, no, you weren't. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, there was no one.
There was five people.
You're lying. That's exactly what I was like. What? But yeah, it's all good.
I mean, those people were probably 14 years old.
I think
they are now. They are now the right age.
Those people there, like, I'm pretty sure are now like Winner Circle and all those sort of bands.
Yeah.
So it's like the couple people at the show, like now running the shit.
So yeah, like, yeah, big time.
Yeah, yeah. It's kicking now though. Like, oh. I mean, and that's again, like, I'm fortunate where I get to go on tour and see this sort of shit.
Mm.
And like when I think the last time I would have been there was, yeah, the last time I was there was on that Speed Scowl Tsunami mm-hmm. run. And it was fucking crazy. It was like crazy. Yeah. I was like, am I in Adelaide right now? Like, mm-hmm. this is a trip. Like, they definitely have like more of a persuasion to like heavier stuff. Like, you know, if it's stuff's a bit yeah. like different, they're not like as fucking with it. But like, man, during the Speed and Tsunami specifically was fucking crazy. And I was like, whoa, like, because I remember like playing the in my old bands and shit as well, just being like, it was so grim. It was grim, and we were like, man, we're fucking coming back here.
But yeah, like, don't get me wrong. I've played dog shit shows everywhere.
Yeah, so sure.
It's
yeah.
not, we all this have. Isn't Adelaide
no.
specific.
No, no, no. But I'm just saying it's good because like they've clearly done something that's like,
yeah, yeah.
They've clearly just like there's
anything's
there's,
possible. You, anything, know?
Yeah. you know, if you no, can no, save Adelaide,
yeah. if you can respect pit, you Adelaide, can create a scene. You know, you just need a couple respect. Pitters.
You just need, and that's the thing, dude. We used to have people in my old band. There would be people who like we wouldn't have Adelaide on a tour because like
yeah.
you wouldn't make money going there. You drive yeah, over sure. there, it wouldn't be enough people to make money for you to even make the trip there. So yeah. we wouldn't go there. You'd have people going like, oh, why no Adelaide? And then you'd play there. And then I remember one time, this one guy. On our like commented being like, oh, why no Adelaide? And then the next tour we went there and we were playing and he was sitting on the stage. And I was like, well, of course we don't want to fucking come here. Yeah. And so we were getting that shit. Right?
Yeah, why aren't you pitting, brother? Come yeah. on.
You want us to
get off your ass.
Not even fucking stage diving yeah, or pitting.
People
or anything.
Enjoy the show in, you know, the weirdest ways.
Yeah.
To me, so, it's like, doing a couple karate kicks in the pit yeah, every now and then. But, yeah. But, get a chair, throw a beer in.
The like, point being is that then we go back and we play, you know, we our first like tour. I mean, we did like Weekenders, but that like that tour with Speed and we went back there, it was just like night and day different. I was like, holy shit, like, you know, it was like, it was just, you know, and then like again going there again last year, you know, on that next Speed tour, that was at a bigger venue and it was like even crazier, like, you know, all the bands got a pit, you know,
yeah,
it wasn't
yeah.
just like the headliner, it was all the bands, and it was yeah. like, okay, so it's clearly something's working, clearly there's like people bringing someone, because that doesn't happen without like, you know,
yeah.
that community sort of spreading out, and that's like cool to see, like, you know, it's all of this stuff's just like working as it should, you know, it's just people talking to people, bringing people along, there's more people coming yeah. in,
and if there's a bit of hype, people are like, I want to be part of it, like,
yeah, yeah,
absolutely,
yeah.
And if it's a good scene, people are like, oh, I want to be involved,
absolutely, yeah. That's it. And then like it goes back to my previous points of just like, you know, people see like people are friends with other people and like, oh well, they're all friends and they're hanging out, like, oh, I want to be part of that, like that crew, or you know, whatever it might be, you know, I want to be playing in a band that like is on these shows, or you know what I mean, like that's, I know, fuck, I would have done that when I was a kid, like seeing, you know, like
yeah, yeah,
so like yeah, it's cool, and like we're just benefactors of being able to play in this time, like now we come through and like we get to play all these cool shows as well, so I don't know, it's just a
it's awesome.
Just a fortunate time, we come out, write some tunes, and then we play some cool shows, that's it, it's like it's cool, it's just cool to be a part of it, I guess.
Dope.
Yeah, and it's sick to see from the outside, like it's yeah. just kicking along. It's awesome.
Absolutely.
All right. That's a pretty good place to wrap her up.
Great spot.
Got anything to plug other than literally the thing we've been talking about for an hour?
Heard of T-Benny Recordings. Hit yeah. for all your recordings.
I plugged the Ox. The Ox. You'll hear about it soon.
The Ox.
And the rest of our shit that's coming out, but, you know. Whatever.
Yeah, you know that's coming. That's why we're here listening to it.
Look up AWOL. The rest will.
Yeah.
You'll be able to figure it out.
Follow the socials. Jump yeah. on there. Say, why no Adelaide?
Yeah. yeah.
Sit on the stage, be an absolute dog. you got anything to plug? 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Just come to Catfish Comedy every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Got some sick lineups coming up for Comedy Festival, so check that out. Good drop-ins.
Dope.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. Solo.net, my website.
Yeah, got an update.
Got a big update. I'm firing up my MySpace HTML skills.
Let's go. Let's go.
Top 8 income.
What's the song on it? Oh, you can make AWOL the song on the
oh, yeah.
promo.
Yeah. Sure.
Sure. Can I get a MIDI version
yeah.
of this?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got that on my bit. Computer, actually. We got the Nightcore remix on the
yeah, hell yeah. yeah. AWOL sped up.
Yeah.
I got nothing to plug, I don't think.
Extortion? World Peace Show coming up.
Oh, yeah. Go to that. That's in April. Exhaustion Plane with World Peace.
Do you know the date?
Six.
Okay.
No clash.
No.
World Peace got two bass players.
Night. Yeah, that's I heard crazy. This the other day. Two bass players. That's
I wild. Can't wait to say that. Apparently, they're a huge band. I had not heard of them, so soz. But
there must be rumbling in the room. Fucking.
Yeah. So I can't wait to go there and play our brand of very fast songs, and then them rattle the shit out of the gasso. But
that'll be dope.
Yeah, doing that. And then I don't know. Exhaustion going to the States.
Oh hell yeah!
Oh true, you're playing. Look that up. MDF, aren't you?
We are.
Truth.
I get to see Dismember. Sick as hell. Can't wait.
Awesome, dude.
Like, yeah, but why am I plugging Extortion? Stream. Extortion's bigger than me. Yeah.
They don't need it any.
They don't need me.
Everyone in America's got that shirt. Yeah. So I hear from the people in my band. Yeah, everyone got that shirt, bro. Back home.
Goated.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you very much for doing this, guys.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Tearing to bits.
Tearing to bits. Check it out.
Listen to it.
Follow Oblivious Maximus if you haven't already. Dope. If you're not a personal friend of ours, listening.
Yeah.
If you're not a personal friend of ours, fuck you.
Yeah, if you take anything away from the podcast, it's probably that.
Yes. Community, yeah. Come to shows, but also fuck you.
Yeah.
Be my friend or else.
All right. Thanks again, guys.
Brutal.
Woohoo.